Very happy to be joined right now by the one and only Bernie Kosar, making the second of his two visits with us this week. Bernie, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Vic.
Well, Bernie, lots of discussion, surprise, surprise, about quarterbacks, rookie quarterbacks who could be Browns quarterbacks, perhaps. And Mike Mayock from NFL Network and Todd McShay from ESPN, the draft analyst for those respective outlets, having conference calls with media this week and generally addressing what the what things shape up as with this quarterback class as the combine fast approaches next week. Both of us will be there in Indianapolis for that, looking forward to that as well. But on the issue of and especially on the issue of Robert Griffin III, that keeps coming up, the RG3 thing, to the extent that these analysts are truly pushing for the idea that he fits the Browns, should be a Brown, and the Browns should do everything they can to get him. And that's all well and good, but we know there's a lot involved in trying to get there. My question to you is, how do you see Griffin just as someone who's – is it an obvious fit? Does his game have to be maybe adjusted, not just for the Browns, but for any NFL team?
Well, I'm really looking forward to seeing him at the combines next week. That's somebody that I think a lot of people are going to be looking at. There's no doubt that he's a good young man. He's got his master's degree in 4 years at Baylor. So he's had a great college career. I hear he's real adaptable. So I think any college kid, especially a quarterback, has to be the team and himself have to be adaptable to learn the system.
Right. And that was the other thing that was brought up, I guess, by the analyst, was perhaps a tweaking could be done to an offense, to the Browns offense, especially the West Coast, to fit his skills. When you hear that term tweaking, and I know it's easy for any of us, especially an analyst, to say, yeah, just go ahead and tweak it. But what does that mean in real terms to you?
Well, all the offenses, and especially Cleveland, it's going to be adaptable so that it could be successful given the given player's talents. I mean, no player, no coach, no organization wants to go out and not be successful, not make plays. So I think sometimes that's a little maybe overblown.
Right, right. And you think then that because with his skill set as someone who moves and can find the throwing lanes on the move. And Bernie, look, you're a tall guy. I mean, you were the classic pocket guy, obviously. Your game wasn't at all about movement. It was about dropping back and seeing and throwing. But in the case of a Griffin, it is about moving, right? And finding those lanes. But is that always true? I mean, does a pocket guy have to worry about the same things that a movable guy does?
I think with the really given length and size of D linemen, I think everybody now worries about that. And he's proven, though, he could be successful moving around, finding lanes, getting openings to make the plays.
And as you say, we're going to be in Indianapolis, and you're looking forward to it, as I am, to see what these guys are all about. I'm going to go in there probably guessing that we don't see the top quarterbacks, Andrew Luck, RG3, throw. In the drills, they often avoid that and save that for the on-campus workouts, which I still don't understand. I can't imagine draft stock is going to be that dramatically impacted by that, but I guess the counter-argument is they're still not ready. They want to be in the familiar they want more time, I guess, number one, to be in the perfect shape to do it, and number two, work with their own guys, right? Work in the confines and comfort of their own familiar environment of their own campus.
Well, I agree with you, but I also remember Cam Newton last year threw. A lot of people weren't very impressed, and he still went number one and had a fantastic rookie year. So I'm really not sure it's the end of the world whether you do it or don't, but I think for RG3, a lot of people want to see his actual size, weight, how he looks, and I think that'll be important for him, how he conducts himself next week.
Yeah, so there's a lot that the evaluators and such will be able to get from their time with him. You're right about that. And, he gets high marks for his intelligence, and I guess there's also the academic intelligence, which he does very well or will grade out very well. But then there's that thing called football smarts, Bernie, right? There's a big difference between the two.
Absolutely. And being able to have the football presence, kind of the football feel. It's imperative for a successful NFL quarterback, no doubt about it.
Bernie Kosar joining us on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And Bernie, when we talk about the other spots that will be on display, wide receiver Justin Blackmon, to just see what he's all about, looking at the offensive linemen, looking at other players that are of these the running backs, Trent Richardson. When you go there with, as we all do, with this great curiosity, what are you looking to, you know, to have sort of jump out at you? What are some of the things you want to take away from it?
Well, one of the things is just to get acclimated with the guys, being able to talk to them, see how they are, how they conduct themselves. Hey, do they have a posse around them already? Are they into the football, or are they into the marketing and the kind of the talking of the game? It's something now where Bill Belichick started 10 years ago with the big character issues, and I think you could get a good feel for a lot of guys in a confined space next week, because everyone's basically there.
The fun of this for me, being part of this Browns, whole Browns situation, is when you really look at the headlines of draft storylines, I guess, the bigger headlines, I don't know that it's getting any bigger than this, because it's the fourth overall pick and the 22nd overall pick. It's a team that comes into this with quarterback as a defined area that will be addressed in one form or another. Sure, the Colts with the top overall pick and the whole Peyton Manning drama are very interesting, and what will they do with that pick and so forth, do we just concede it's Andrew Luck? But I would argue that the scenario with the Browns is more, not just because we're talking about it as Browns people, but it is more fascinating than probably any other in the whole NFL.
Well, probably is the most noteworthy, because I think most people, including the Colts, have come to the point that Andrew Luck is going to be the first guy, and that puts St. Louis and the Cleveland situation kind of being the next story up that has uncertainty. So that's what the stuff everyone, I think, wants to speculate on. And then they're going to have to make plans for the different scenarios.
Yeah, and have your plan B and C, and again, the trade possibilities that are there, the willingness to make deals. We saw that from Tom Heckert in this group last year. So they're going to be open to all of this. And the other thing that I think I find fun about the combine is just hearing the whispers, the corridor conversations. A lot of it doesn't necessarily see the light of day. Some of it does, but the speculation and where you would think there is really not a news story that is maybe manufactured because you know, so-and-so heard so-and-so from this club say, or unnamed person say, because that chit-chat is going on. It's a very gossipy situation.
Yeah, right on. I was going to use the phrase, a lot of angling is going on. Sometimes even false information put out there to throw people off.
Yeah, that is pretty common, I think, among NFL executives and what they do. And they all tell you, by the way, it's justifiable lying. You know, you can, because it helps. You know, if it helps your team succeed, it's okay to do it.
Yeah, and you see quite a few guys, and that's what I think what makes a lot of the intrigue and why it's imperative. You really got to have Plan B, Plan C, because you're not sure what position and what really is the truth.
Bernie, when we come back, we're going to take a swing around the NFL, just talk about some of the other headlines out there. You game for another segment with me?
Perfect.
Okay, he is Bernie Kosar. He's joining us as he regularly does here on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford. It's brought to you by Madden NFL 12. In stores now, EA Sports, it's in the game. And we're back with Bernie Kosar for part two of our discussion about the NFL. Bernie, in the AFC North, just talking about and all these teams, I know we watch with great interest their offseason developments, because that obviously affects things in Cleveland. The Pittsburgh Steelers, I think, are going to be a team to watch because of the potential for significant change with salary cap issues that they're dealing with. And recently, Kevin Colbert, their general manager, was on a radio station in The Fan, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh, just talking about the offseason. And he acknowledged, and Kevin's a very sharp guy, and he's done a really good job with the Steeler club, as much as Browns fans might hate hearing that. But he said that the team knew going into this past offseason that they were going to be over the cap and were ready to address it. But, you know, saying that and then addressing it, two different things, because the addressing it is going to mean some recognizable names either taking pay adjustments, pay cuts, or maybe not being on the team.
Well, you're exactly right, and they've done a great job over the years, but this is a tough offseason for them. They've restructured, I think, three or four contracts already, and still possibly are almost $20 million over the cap. So they got a lot of work to do, and they may actually have to part ways with some younger guys probably earlier than they want to, just because the numbers just aren't adding up. And when you get to the point they are with success, winning, and veterans, you get sometimes some higher-priced guys, and I don't think they're going to be able to put that same type team together again next year.
Yeah, and the name that's going to be now among not younger guy but older guy is Hines Ward. And, you know, when you hear that name, it's so synonymous with Steeler success in this decade. To hear Kevin Colbert talk about the situation, that first of all, you know, how willing will he be? He was asked on this radio show how willing to restructure his contract, whatever that might mean. But Colbert said it. Kevin said at this point, they just don't know what they're going to do with Hines Ward until they get the definitive salary cap number that they'll work under. And no team has that quite yet. There's been a lot of guesses and projections. But just the mere fact that you're talking about the uncertain future of Hines Ward, and it looked to me like obviously he was less of a contributor to what the Steelers were doing this past season.
Well, that's what I was going to kind of echo in on. Sometimes front office guys use the salary cap as kind of a way to get rid of a veteran guy, and I think Hines's performance is coming down a little, and the Steelers have had success with their young receivers, so that's an area they do have some depth at.
More money issues that will be talked about regarding Peyton Manning and the Indianapolis Colts and the back and forth that's going on there between Jim Irsay, their owner, and with regard to something to, say, negotiate about or talk about. And I'm not really sure where that conversation can go with Manning. I mean, it's all about, I know, this payment that he is due next month, but I just find it very hard to accept or to believe that he is going to allow himself to take something in the way of a significant pay cut just to stay with the Colts. If there was any hope physically of him being able to play, then, you know, take the fuller amount, I guess, and take it elsewhere.
Well, I really think, especially over the last week or so, it's deteriorated so much that Peyton Manning is not going to be with the Indianapolis Colts next year. I don't see any way that relationship is going to get fixed.
Yeah. And you've been, and Bernie, you've been through this. You know what this is like in terms of, you know, you're a fixture with a team for a period of time. The time comes when that does come to an end.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, the player may not want to admit it, but Peyton, I still think, wants to prove people wrong. But the team is in complete rebuilding modes, and a veteran quarterback with a young rebuilding team with a young number one quarterback, I just think there's way better situations.
Yeah, and where he lands, where Manning lands, is the fascinating part, obviously, of all of this. If, A, he can still play, and that remains to be seen. And then I'm curious, too, about the type of team. And we know the Browns are brought up in this discussion. Any team that is talked about with a quarterback need or would have the intention of addressing quarterback is in this discussion. But without necessarily saying a specific club, Bernie, is there a profile that has to be right to have this guy? On the presumption that he could at least do enough to come to your camp and it will be worth the look, you know, to be part of your club, if you can't give him the full-out commitment. And it's hard for me to believe, if Manning's still playing, that a club is that there's trepidation to taking him in, even though I feel physically there should be. But if you have Peyton Manning on your club, you're going with Peyton Manning, at least in 2012. It doesn't look like you could half-heartedly go about that. But what's the profile have to be? Does it have to be a club that is so strong in every other area that this just, you know, puts you over the top? Or do you have to have the right kind of coach? Do you have to have the right kind of coordinator, that type of thing?
Well, I actually think all of the above. I mean, he's going to want to have the right situation, and so is the team. But I really think it's interesting from our Browns' perspective of where he lands, because if he lands in Miami or Washington, that takes one of the teams that could try to trade with St. Louis or trade with us for the fourth pick kind of off the game, out of the game for RG3.
Right.
And it may make it, if the Browns end up liking him, it may make it easier to get or less expensive, and vice versa. If they don't get a free agent quarterback, those two teams, they're probably going to be trying to trade up to do something in the draft.
Bernie Kosar joining us, as he always does here on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford. Bernie, I think this topic just goes right to your heart. And you have a play. I know you've called yourself proudly the defender of quarterbacks. You stand up for quarterbacks of all generations. But Marshall Faulk, a former running back, a Hall of Famer, was talking and was quoted in, I guess it was Michigan Live, MLive.com website, about Matthew Stafford, the Lions quarterback who became the fourth quarterback in NFL history to throw for 5,000 yards in a season this past year. And you have Eli Manning and Aaron Rodgers and so forth who were close enough to that and would have, I think Manning, what, 4,900, and Rodgers didn't play the final week, so he fell just short. But Faulk more or less just said it wasn't that great an accomplishment. The quote from him is, throwing for 5,000 yards in the NFL right now is nothing. He says, I don't want to take anything away from it. As much as people throw the football now, you better have 5,000 if you have Calvin Johnson. What are your thoughts on that?
I got a lot of them, but just because something is easier to do doesn't mean it's easy. And yeah, there's more guys throwing for 5,000, but that's still a heck of an accomplishment and something that's not easy to do. And you have to have just a fantastic 16 games. So, yeah, it's probably easier with more throwing and the way the rules are. But it is still a really impressive season to have, no doubt about that.
And I know that chicken and or egg discussion comes up with regard to quarterback and receiver. Who makes whom better? And I want to not take a single thing away from Stafford, but I look at Calvin Johnson, and we know what an incredible player he is. But Calvin Johnson's not getting his numbers without somebody throwing the ball well to him.
Look, they're both fantastic players. We've played Detroit the last few preseasons, and I get to go on the field and just admire the way Matthew Stafford throws the ball. It's incredible. And obviously Calvin Johnson is a fantastic receiver.
Yeah, they call him Megatron for a reason, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Bernie, great stuff as always. Enjoyed it. And we will talk to you again next week, my friend.
Have a good weekend and looking forward to the combines.
Yeah, that is going to be fun. He is Bernie Kosar, former Browns quarterback, great, joining us as he always does on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford. It's brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game.